This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05. You are with Lynn and Ayman on the evening edition. And on Pop It, Pop It today, we're looking at what it takes to set up a long-lasting brand in this day and age. Now, this is coming after an article in The Economist basically kind of posited that it's really easy for people to set up a brand nowadays and compete with more established companies.
Yeah, so the article that we are talking about gives the example of the American company Harry's, which was set up in 2013. They sell razors for men. So what Harry's did when they first set up was to take advantage of technology and the fact that, you know, commerce nowadays is globalized or borderless, to do things that they need to do to establish themselves. This includes things like finding a cheap supplier of decent razors, to outsource back office work, to advertise on social media and sell their products through online merchant platforms, which are, you know, available in abundance nowadays.
You know, the question here, I think, is this something that is true for businesses in Malaysia as well? And B, it's one thing to be able to take advantage of technology, and it's quite another to be able to kind of set up a brand that actually sets yourself apart, right? Mm-hmm. What makes you unique and different? And I've been thinking about this quite a bit because we spoke yesterday about how Utusan Malaysia might be staging a comeback. And this is, of course, after they went under in October of last year. And there have been mentions of perhaps coming back, but now there are actual reports with sources saying that it's going to happen. And yesterday we spoke with Jabar Sadiq, who had a lot of questions about, fine, if you want to come back, what is the unique selling point going to be? It's a busy landscape. There are lots of newspapers. There are lots of news providers right now. So I think it's also going to be interesting to see what Utusan does with this, as well as whether they can also take advantage of technology and borderless commerce.
Yeah, so like technology and the internet, right? Can be both good and bad for a new entrepreneur. So first of all, sure, it allows you to access a lot of people and consumers online, which is where people are heading to nowadays. But at the same time, because it is so easy to set up an online business, what it means is that there are so many other people doing the same as well.
Yeah.
It's mushrooming. One guy sells cupcakes on the internet, all of a sudden you see 10 other people doing the same thing. So things are moving very rapidly in terms of competition in the market. So it's a question of how do you set yourself apart? Because that's the nature of businesses, right? You need to innovate to make yourself unique and better than your competitors. So if things are moving so quickly, do you have the capacity to constantly innovate to make yourself have an edge over other people that are selling the same things as you are?
So you say that's the nature of business, and I agree. And I also think it's the nature of branding, right? Mm. I mean, let's face it, most of what we buy or on a day-to-day basis, most of the brands that we look at are pretty similar. They make their items in the same place. They are making them usually even out of the same things. If they are successfully setting themselves apart, it's by making up terms for specific kinds of fabrics or designs or whatever. But mm-hmm. And all of that is the work of branding. You know, all of that is them finding a unique selling point and saying that, okay, I'm just going to bank on this and this is the thing that I'm going to push. Or alternatively, trying to find maybe a more CSR, corporate social responsibility mm-hmm. angle to things. For example, something like Tom's, you know, one shoe for you. One pair of shoes for you, one pair of shoes for a child who needs it. And so that was unique at the time. There are copycats, however, since, mm-hmm. and there are other brands doing the same thing. So I think it is a good question because when people want to start a business, I think very often you think, you know what? I'm coming to this with my own perspective. I'm coming to this with a quality product. Ergo, I'm going to be successful. It's going to be fine. But actually, I think what you need to do is learn how to tell a brand story in a way that people remember or in a way that sticks out, you know, and lands. And I'm not sure whether the ease of doing business has translated to the difficulty or how that corresponds to the difficulty of branding yourself? Because they're two separate things.
Yeah, because the brand story can make up for perhaps a lack of resources on the small businesses side, right? So maybe they don't have enough, the same amount of money to do promotions on TV and mass media compared to large business, large companies. So yeah, there is an interesting sort of important matter as well as to how these newly formed businesses who are easily created because of the internet technology, how they can compete with more established incumbents. So if you sell a pair of shoes, how can you compete with Adidas and Nike, for example? The story, the branding story, is one of the things that can be pursued. But as you mentioned, as said earlier as well, it's becoming a bit old. People are seeing through it. So yeah, is this very interesting to see, like, what other new forms of approaches will be taken now that, you know, this more cost-effective route of telling a story is becoming old. So what avenues are there for newer businesses moving forward?
So we're talking today about how to create a long-lasting brand, right? And a brand that stands out, because it's really easy to start a business these days, but it is not necessarily that easy to create a brand that people remember. So I'm curious to know whether there are any new brands that have entered the market that you think are doing this really well. If you yourself are trying to do this at this point in time, what is your strategy? Share it. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And in the meantime, if you wanted to hear what some folks have had to say, this, of course, is Popik Popik, so we asked. And first of all, what we wanted to know is, if it's easier to start a brand these days, this is what people had to say.
Yeah, I suppose with platforms like social media, it's easy to market. And I think that since factories are all easily like contactable, it's possible.
Basically, it's free marketing, free advertising as well. At the same time, people are much more digital, so it's much more easier to spread out their name and products.
With the internet now, anyone can start anything.
I think with social media and the coverage you can get with that, it is easier for you to start a brand compared to, say, 10 years ago. Right now, anyone can open a social media account, right? And you can put your brand on there.
And we also wanted to know, what exactly are people looking for in a brand? And here are the results.
Providing a service that gives value more towards a community.
Something that solves a problem that I have. I don't know, if it's skincare, then you better solve what I need to solve for my skin. I need a promise, basically. Yeah.
Even if it's service, you can judge from there if it's valuable or if it's worth the money.
Environmental consciousness, general mindfulness of like human well-being, not mindlessness, so like no pollution, no harm.
I think trust is important when you start a brand and what you look for in a brand. You're looking for trust, transparency, and in the value that they provide.
And lastly, we asked how brands should stay on top of their game.
Marketing games, whereby how they convey the message to their target market.
Customer engagement, but like not through social media, but like more through kind of interactions, maybe like events where people can come in physically or like participate online.
You have to be able to differentiate yourself from the competition. Social media makes it easier, but it also makes it almost too easy at times. You get so many people starting different brands, so you have to be able to stand out.
To stay personable and relatable and be communicative about what you actually believe in and what you're actually trying to sell us.
I think it's just about constantly improving your product, putting out the best product possible in the market.
Relevancy and as well as transparency and authenticity of the brands that connect with the audiences.
Transparency and authenticity, I think, are very, 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 very interesting, very, very present values that are becoming a thing, right? Over, I would say, the last 5 to 10 years, it's becoming increasingly appealing for consumers to want to know that transparency. And I think that some brands have actually started to use that as part of their marketing, while not necessarily engaging in transparency, but marketing it nonetheless.
Yeah, I remember there's this one clothing line which advertises using transparency as the key strategy, right? So it says that, so you buy this shirt for 30 ringgit, 10 ringgit goes to the workers, another 5 ringgit goes to the fabric, another 5 ringgit goes to here and there. So that sort of transparency at that time, I remember it, putting them on a greater competitive edge just because people know that, okay, I'm paying for the value that they are describing here, so I know what I'm paying for. And at that time, I thought it was a very clever thing. It wasn't really done that much before, and that was one of the first time it was done. So yeah, transparency is a very important kind of thing that businesses need to have nowadays if they want to win over their customers.
So we're talking today about how to create a long-lasting brand, or I suppose a compelling brand story. And this is coming at a time where starting a business is pretty straightforward, but perhaps creating a brand that can stand out is becoming increasingly complicated. So we're asking you, if you're kind of involved in this at the moment, what's your strategy? And on the flip side of that, if you are like me, you know, just someone who's interested in slash a consumer of brands, what new brands have been telling you interesting stories? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are crossing over in the meantime to Jeevan Sadevan, business growth expert and founder of Leverage Lab. Jeevan, how easy is it to start a business right now in Malaysia?
In Malaysia at the moment, it is absolutely ridiculously easy, actually, because just to get started with a business, you can do anything from a sole proprietorship to an LLP to right down to Sundar Brahat. A company secretary can help you with this. So it's just really, really easy to get started. Anyone can start with a business. And with the New Companies Act, you can even have a Sundar Brahat with a single director, which is pretty cool.
And what are the challenges to starting a brand here?
The biggest thing to realize when you start a brand is actually owning mental real estate space in a person's brain. So you want to own that space in the brain. And one of the good things is that social media makes that a lot easier. However, you need to be a lot more frequent on social media as well. And all you really need to think of is this, okay, how does my brand get into your head? And frequency helps, the quality helps, creativity helps, everything that you can do out there helps. And the key really is to be out there a lot. Otherwise, people forget you very quickly. In the olden days, if you go back, say, about 20 years ago, you could advertise in the newspapers, for instance, and people would still remember you for a couple of weeks. Now, because of the noise that's in the market, so much noise in the market, you need to be quite regular in reaching your target audience.
So what is the entrepreneurial landscape like at the moment? Are we seeing an increase when it comes to local brands?
Yeah, definitely a lot more increase in local brands. Also because they're very heavily supported by all kinds of platforms. I mean, you've got Magic, for instance, and you've got all different kinds of platforms that do support this, from coaching structures to learning structures, all kinds of things. And of course, again, social media makes it all that easier to get your marketing off the ground really quickly as well. So for the local brands, I mean, it's a lot easier now than it has been years ago.
So what is it then that's changed that helped more businesses to spring up lately?
The biggest thing that has actually changed is your ability to be present in front of a person through their device. So whether it be through Facebook or Instagram or being featured on portals such as Star Online, MailerMail Online, you're constantly in front of people. And that ability to be in front of people, that has changed tremendously. Because in the past, if your brand wanted to be in front of someone, you would have to look at different structures from a billboard ad right down to a newspaper ad or to a magazine ad, or buntings and banners or flyers. Today, you can be in front of someone very, very quickly and at an investment that is a fraction of the cost of what it would have been many years back. So it's incredibly cheap to actually get in front of people at the moment.
Right. And, you know, on that note, while the digital space is important, the article also says that there is still value in having your products available offline on supermarket shelves, for example. Do you agree with that?
It's incredibly important. Think of it this way, online and offline. And let's look at an example would be property developers. When they do their branding and their marketing and their selling event, yes, they can go online, they can talk about their properties, they can do a whole bunch of things. But if they do this without having exhibition kiosks at malls, then they're going to miss out a massive number of potential customers that could be buying from their brand. So offline and online, they both still have a very big place to play. And especially here in Malaysia, offline still carries a very big ticket. And you do want to explore, however, for different brands, different things that you can do offline which would work for you versus other types of brands. A very good example is exhibition kiosks. That may work for certain businesses, but not for others. But it represents a strategy that's actually very, very good for a business. So yes, offline, online, these two are still the main ways in which you'll get your brand across.
And how do you start a brand that can set itself apart from others?
One of the things that sets you apart is actually being the first at something, so that you sort of form a mental anchor or a hook in a person's brain. So let me give you an example. Who's the first person to walk on the moon? So everyone knows that's Neil Armstrong. But if I say, who's the second person to walk on the moon? No one knows, no one really cares. It's Buzz Aldrin, but no one really remembers that. So you want to be the first in something, and that sort of forms a hook in someone's mind. You know, you're like, if I say the safest car in the world, immediately you say Volvo. And even though Volvo may not necessarily be the safest car in the world, they own that hook. So the way to differentiate yourself is occupy the first of something in someone's mind. And when you do that, that makes it a lot easier for you as well. So that sort of covers a lot of ground. And then from there, of course, adding value is the biggest thing you could ever do. When a brand starts adding tremendous value to the marketplace, like what Grab did, Grab added huge amounts of value. When they did that, that brand started to stay in everybody's mind, and it becomes a local conversation amongst people as well. So these two are a very good starting point for a brand, looking specifically at being the first at something and being very, very clear about the kind of value that you add to your target market.
Now, you spoke about factors that, you know, you can control, but what are some uncontrollable factors that might cause your business to not do so well despite hitting all the marks on those checklists?
Some of the factors, of course, is government regulation is a very big one, and there can be laws and all that you have to navigate, you've got to understand and work with. So that's one of the first things. Of course, competition is always a very big factor, and you could be ruling right now and being really, really well as a brand, but if you're not aware of the competition that's creeping up and catching up really quickly as well, then that can give you a massive hit. So competition is another factor. And of course, the third factor is adding value can change. When you look at FedEx as an example, many years ago, the major value they added to smash UPS was actually overnight delivery. But then after a while, everyone was doing overnight deliveries. That didn't become that much of a deal anymore. So you've got to innovate as well. So really, if you come down to the essence, I think it was Peter Drucker who said it best. He said, business is essentially about just two things, marketing and innovation. So you've got to be very, very good at your marketing, which is where the whole branding thing comes in. And then your innovation, you keep improving the services that you're offering to your customers, and you keep adding all kinds of value to these people. You keep innovating. Look at Grab. It was initially just about getting you from one place to another. Now you have Grab Food, you've got Grab Dispatch, and you've got all sorts of things. So innovation is a very, very important part of building your brand so that you stay in relationship with your customer, and that's everything.
And how are we seeing large brands responding to more successful startups?
Well, one of the interesting things now is that in the past, the big brands could have all the arrogance in the world to just stand their ground on whatever they do. But today, you could have someone delivering the exact same product and service for a fraction of the cost, one of the small boys coming on board. So it's a massive challenge now for brands of all sizes to actually work with their customers, because customers want things faster, they want things cheaper, they want things yesterday, they want things instantly. So brands now, it's no longer about size, but it's about reach. It's about your ability to actually reach different customers. And also, again, back to the value that you're actually adding to the customers out there. So the challenge is on, and it's a very nice game because social media has leveled the playing field. And although you shouldn't be exclusively using social media alone, but looking at some offline methods as well, still it's an incredible tool that has pretty much leveled the playing field at many levels, at many kinds of products and services.
So, you know, on that note then, is it possible in this day and age to create a brand that gets big enough to topple giant legacy brands?
You're still going to need budget. So you're still going to need a lot of money for a lot of things. Because of course, the big brands are way ahead in terms of budget and the kind of money that they can spend to get into that mental real estate, to own that mind space. So budget is still a key factor here. However, there's all these guerrilla marketing methods that you can also use. And again, it really is all about that angle that you're taking, that frequency that you have, and the value that you add. All these things can carry you forward tremendously, very quickly, and push your brand up. So the key, really, keep your mind on these things. Keep your mind in being first at something. Keep your mind at adding tremendous value, and structure your relationship with clients. And this is the big thing, because we've entered into the relationship era. So the relationship between the brand and the customers is most important. So look at what are we doing to improve that relationship, and that is the key. Get that done, and of course, you'll start overtaking a lot of brands.
Jeevan, thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Jeevan Sahadevan, business growth expert and founder of Leverage Lab. You can actually hear more from him every first Monday of the month at 10 a.m. on Enterprise. So we've been talking today about how to I suppose, how to tell a brand story that sets yourself apart in a day and age where it's really easy to start a business, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily easy to distinguish yourself, I suppose. And we've been asking you, A, you know, if you're currently an owner of a small brand yourself, what is your strategy in that area? How have you been thinking about it? And on the flip side, if you're a consumer, what brands, what newer brands have really worked in terms of successfully communicating that to you, I suppose. So we first up have this message from Arihan, who says, add cheese at the end and it'll sell like hotcakes for a month.
Yeah, we've seen that happen on all kinds of things, right? But I think the reason why it doesn't last for a long time is that's not exactly an innovation. Even though you're trying to compete by just changing some things, adding cheese on everything, it doesn't solve a problem that people are facing. It doesn't improve on people's lives. So that's why I think that, you know, it doesn't last longer than a month.
And then we have a pair of messages that I think really focus on exclusivity, on creating demand. So Boyi fills us says, people nowadays buy social status show-off items. So if you want your brand to work, sell your products with a higher price, with a luxurious name, maybe a French name, and make sure your products look exclusive. And similarly, we have this from Adiho, who's responding to something you said earlier, Ayman.
Yeah, so I was talking about that clothing line that was transparent about how they price their products. So Maria says that brand is called Everlane.
Yep.
So another brand is Cezanne.
French name, there you go.
So Cezanne scales back production so the items sell out faster, and this in turn increases the coveted nature for their brand.
Yeah, and both Everlane and Cezanne are known for this. They both also try to produce in relatively limited amounts. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it creates a bit of a drive because it's like, hey, buy now or it's going to run out. And when it runs out, we may not remake it. Mm-hmm. And they also sometimes have sales based on the fact that they overproduced. So I think that idea of trying to bring about a limited edition kind of experience or a limited run, you know, you can only get it for a specific amount of time, or once it's done, it's done. That is an important part. But also being front and center about, Everlane uses the term radical transparency, mm-hmm. and that has been something they're consistent with. So I think being consistent about what story you're trying to tell with your brand, kind of important. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, of course, talk to us. You know, what brands are telling compelling stories at the moment? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.